This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else. Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at sci-fi-noise.com. Sci-Fi Noise is part of the Deliberate Noise Network. For more details, you can go to deliberatenoise.com. If you'd like to send feedback, you can email me. My email address is Derek, that's D-E-R-E-K, at deliberatenoise.com. Or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. You can also follow me on Facebook or Twitter under the name Derek Howard, or Instagram under the name Comic Book Noise. Oh, all right, I'm sorry, I was kind of distracted during that intro because I'm on my way to work. Someone asked me if I needed gas yesterday. I said yes. They said they were going to get some gas for me, and then I look in and there's no gas. No, I'm going to have to get to work and back. So halfway through this podcast episode, you're not going to all of a sudden hear me swearing, saying, damn it, no, I got to push. Yeah, that's not happening. Anyway, this episode was originally when I'm driving to work, I like to record Comic Book Noise episodes, and then on the way home I'll record like a Sci-Fi Noise or Movie Noise or something along those lines. However, I realized this weekend that I didn't really do a whole lot of comic book related stuff. I did some I could talk about. Some of the television shows that I watch, because I didn't actually read any comic books this weekend. But one thing that I really did do that was pretty big for me was I saw the movie Interstellar. Now, if you don't know what Interstellar is, I'm doing this off the top of my head, so if I get some things wrong or if I forget some parts, sorry. First off, let me talk about the cast. The cast, I believe, Matthew McConaughey, he plays a guy named Cooper. I can't remember his last name and his first name. No, his last name is Cooper. He's like an astronaut. He's like a former astronaut. No. All right, let me just put the setting. Something happened on Earth where some sort of blight, some sort of sickness has come, and it's killing off the food supply. I don't know if it's killing off the animals, because I really don't remember seeing a bunch of animals. However, they did say that it is killing off crops, you know. And and Matthew McConaughey is a farmer, because you know that's like been elevated to, you know, the highest positions in society. And that's one thing I really did like, because they went to a major league baseball game, but it looked like it was being played in not exactly a little league field, but wasn't a stadium, all right. And one of the teams was the world famous New York Yankees. So that just went to show that farmers mean more than than athletes, you know. So I thought that was a kind of an unexpected twist. It should be unexpected. It makes a lot more sense, because if people are having trouble, you know, eating, the people who supply the food are going to be worth more on a societal level than people who provide entertainment, you know. Anyway, so he was a farmer who was a former astronaut. He still wanted to go back out into outer space, because the most he ever made it to was like the stratosphere, right? Most, I mean, hell, it's way cool, farther than I've ever been, you know. His wife had died because I think they didn't have enough MRI machines or something. He mentioned MRI, and his wife ended up dying of cancer because it wasn't caught in time. But anyway, he lived with his two kids, and his father-in-law was played by John Lithgow, who was probably one of the meanest old men in movies. He wasn't like Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life, but he was one of those guys who just took every opportunity to snipe at the guy who was pretty much giving him a place to live, you know. He was just a mean old man, just really mean. But anyway, he had two kids. His son grows up to be Casey Affleck. I don't know the kid actor's name. And his daughter grows up to be Jessica Chastain, right? But when they were kids, they stumbled across some sort of gravitational anomaly in her room, in her bedroom. They ended up getting some coordinates, and they got some coordinates, and with those coordinates, they found like this secret governmental base. I realize I'm not doing a really good job of telling the story, but that, like I said, I'm doing this off the top of my head, and I'm trying to drive. Anyway, he ends up meeting with Wes Bentley, Michael Caine, and Anne Hathaway. And they say that they're NASA and they're going to try to save the world, right? They send them on. There's a plan A and a plan B. Plan A is to go through this wormhole that they found to one of 12 races, 12 planets that can be populated, possibly. Or plan B is to take a bunch of eggs, human embryo type eggs, and eggs and sperms, and they're going to like grow people. That's plan B, but they're trying to go for plan A first. Anyway, I'm going to stop it right there and just say they go off into outer space. Right? The movie's like 2.5 hours long, but it really didn't drag. Okay, I'm just going to talk about the movie. There was a robot in the movie. There are a bunch of robots, and the first time I saw them, I thought to myself, wow, this looks horrible. All right, because they were boxy, you know. I want to say that. All right, but I'll tell you my first reaction when I first saw the robot, which, like I said, was this big box that had like almost like arms and legs, and had no head, so it was just like a big obelisk, right? And by the way, I got a very strong 2001 A Space Odyssey vibe from the movie. Not necessarily story-wise, but just with the sort of big ideas it was trying to get across. But anyway, I first saw it and I thought to myself, wow, this looks like some straight up Flight of Conchords bullshit. Right? I mean, I didn't like it. I was like, oh, this looks horrible. But later in the movie, they illustrated why the robots were built the way they were, and it all made sense. Okay, it all made sense. There was somebody else who went in the original spaceship. There was a black actor who, I'm sorry, somebody I had never seen before. You know, usually, even if I don't know the name of a black actor, I will recognize their face because, you know, the pool of black actors of a certain age, I should say, very, very small, right? So a lot of the young kids, I don't really recognize. You know, if they're below 35, chances are I'm not going to really recognize who they are unless they're famous, right? Unless they're like really, really Rihanna, Chris Brown level famous, all right? And this guy was not that. And at first I thought he was one of the guys from... there was this TV show called Better Off Ted. And I thought he was that guy, but he wasn't, you know, because that guy's a comedian. This guy was definitely not a comedian. So I have absolutely no idea who he was. But he did a really good job. He played a black scientist who wasn't like a Steve Urkel. Okay, he didn't have a funny voice. And he wasn't socially awkward. Okay, and that was two things I definitely noticed right off the bat. Because as soon as I saw him, I was like, oh, okay, here we go. But that's not what happened. And I was like, oh, wow, that's a pleasant surprise. Oh, I can't remember the African dude's name. David something. He played Malcolm X in Selma. He was in this movie. He was very briefly in this movie in the beginning. He played the school principal, right? And he was very short role, but he was another. It was also really good to see him in this movie because I just read an interview with him where he said the one role he would never play is that of the black best friend. You know, and I was like, that makes a lot of sense. You know, because there's no real substance to that role. You can tell that most of the time that's just a paycheck. Yeah. So I had just seen something about him, and then I see him in this movie, and I was like, hey, cool, I like that guy. And so he was playing a position of someone in a position of authority. And you know what? He was, I believe, he was also in the movie Jack Reacher with Tom Cruise, which wasn't a which was not a science fiction movie, but anyway. So that guy was in. I thought that this movie, I swear to God, from the commercials, you know, and it's like Matthew McConaughey has to go into outer space, but, you know, there's all this, you know, time relativity to deal with. And the kids were like, no, Dad, don't go. I don't want you to go. I got to go. I got to save my kids. I really thought it was going to be like Contact, which was a really good movie, but it was really long and did not get to the point in time for me to really care about that movie. Maybe I should rewatch it. But I really thought that they were going to string this one off for hours. Like I said, it's a 2.5-hour movie. I thought it was going to be at least a good hour and a half before they got to the space stuff. And it wasn't. It didn't take that long. I was like, oh, wow. They're not. It didn't feel rushed, but it just didn't feel like it was going as slow as I thought it was going to go. I was really pleasantly surprised by that. Now, Christopher Nolan is one of these directors who, first I'll just say, I loved Memento, right? One of my favorite movies. I will admit, though, it is a gimmick. The thing that really strengthens that movie is the fact that it had just a great gimmick to it, right? But um, not a big fan of his Batman movies, right? Batman Begins, it just seemed like the purpose of that whole movie was to show us, like, hey, look, look, we're not Schumacher. You can come back now. Look, we're not even Burton. We're something totally different. You can come back. It'll be cool to like Batman again. So that's what that was. And, you know, I was kind of hoping that he would do something, you know, with his own stuff, with his own storytelling. Then came The Dark Knight, which was a step in the direction I wanted to see him go in. What I mean by that is that was not based on a previous Batman story, right? Yeah, it was a Batman story, but it was at least an original Batman story, unlike the last one. Was it Dark Knight Returns? Which was basically the Nightfall storyline, just abbreviated, so that it really made very little sense. The only other movie that I can recall, I've probably seen other movies by him, but the only other movie I can recall was Inception. And Inception, once again, it felt like it was a gimmick. It was a gimmick that they wrapped a movie around, and I wasn't that fond of the gimmick, and I really have not been that fond of the movie. I saw it once, right? I saw Dark Knight Return once. I saw The Dark Knight twice, and I saw Batman Begins twice. I've seen Memento at least 50 times. All right. So when I went into Interstellar with very low expectations of me liking it, and this is definitely a movie I could see myself watching again. He created a world that he tried to explain it, you know, but he didn't really go out of his way. You know, there's no Chiron saying, you know, this is what happened. And now here's the story. It wasn't anything like that. It was just like there were a bunch of talking heads explaining the setup of what happened with the food and what people were like. But even that was explained at the end of the movie. You know, it was just really good. And I will admit, there was something that happened towards the end of the movie that actually had tears falling from my eyes. And if you email me, I'll tell you what it was, but I'm not going to spoil that because that was such a great moment. Anyway, so yeah, I would definitely recommend this movie. And like I said, it is 2.5 hours long. But it has like big ideas, and some people, I can't remember some people reading some people saying that they weren't fleshed out well enough, but you know, with big ideas, they're to get you thinking, you know? And part of the thinking that he wants us to have is like, hey, you know, what would we do if this was our last hope? This was our last planet. Because technically right now it is. This is a really good movie. I recommend it. In fact, you know what? I even highly recommend it. How you go? There you go. So anyway, if you have any questions about, you know, what part made me cry, because I will admit it made me cry. So let me know. You can email me. My email address is Derek, this is D-E-R-K, at deliberatenoise.com, or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772, and I will be back soon with another episode. Thanks.